All right, let's open our Bibles to Philippians chapter number 2 this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. As we start this brand new series here called Mind Control. And we'll dive into that in just a little bit. But let's begin with verse number 5 of Philippians chapter number 2. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. And we're reminded this morning of how much you love us. And what you are willing to go through to pay the price for our sin. And God, I pray for those who've never trusted in Jesus. Maybe they're here with us in the room, in person, and they've never trusted in Jesus. I pray your Spirit would convict them of their wrongdoing against you, God. That Bible word is sin. And that they know and understand that Jesus paid the price for their sin so that they don't have to. And may they trust in Jesus today. Lord, maybe it's somebody watching online, live with us right now. God, I pray that you would work in their heart, that they might know and trust and believe that Jesus is the way of salvation. And Lord, for believers, both in the room and watching online, God, I pray that you'd help us as we talk about our minds for the next couple of weeks. Help us to have the mindset that Jesus had, to obey that command that Paul had given to us, to let the mind of Jesus be in us. Work in our hearts, specifically in the area of love this morning, as we talk about having a mind of love. Evaluate the way that we love one another, because that really reflects who you are. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, as we get started, I want to know, where are my science fiction fans at? Fellow nerds, raise your hand. I want to see you. All right, go ahead. You can raise them high. I mean, this is the day and age where it's cool to be nerd, so you don't have to do like this anymore like you used to. Patty's back here going, Science fiction fans. Tell me, what's your favorite sci-fi series? Whether it's a book, whether it's television, whether it's movies. Somebody share with us favorite science fiction series. Patty. Star Trek. Okay. Trek. Trek. My mom always said track. So that's the way I grew up saying it. Star Trek. Yes. Star Wars. And there's actually been some interesting talk about maybe overlapping those worlds, which would be kind of fascinating to see at some point. But yes, two of the most popular. Anybody else have anything else to share with that? You have something different outside of the box. Everybody's either in Star Trek or Star Wars land. Okay, yeah. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., okay, so moving into the Marvel Universe and some of those things, and what a great job of storytelling they have. Yes? Sliders, okay, yes. I know a lot of people like Firefly, too, which only ran for one season, but has really popular. I'm surprised nobody said Doctor Who. Like that's very popular with some people. I've never seen it. I've heard it's fantastic. I have a lot of people telling me I should check it out, but, that's a pretty popular one, too. One of the things that has always fascinated me about science fiction is watching science fiction become reality. And you think about some of the things, whether it's in Star Trek or Star Wars or whatever else, some of the things that these people dreamed up has now become reality. Things like cell phones, iPads. That was all science fiction. We watched it on TV way before it was even thought of as becoming a reality. Self-driving cars. And we could go on and on about the things that were science fiction that literally somebody just dreamed up one day. And then somebody said, you know what, I think we can make that. I think we can do that now. And some of the things they're working on now is so fascinating. I was reading an article earlier this month, and it was about an interview with Elon Musk. And one of the things that he has done, he's an entrepreneur from South Africa, and you have heard of the name Tesla and SpaceX, okay? And he had a big part in PayPal getting off the ground and some of those things. So he's very well known, but he loves science. And he loves those sorts of things and technology. And one of his startups is called Neuralink. And the latest thing they're working on, and he came out earlier this month and talked about the fact that they implanted a microchip on the skull of a monkey and connected it to his brains with, in his words, little wires, and had it so the monkey could control a computer and play video games with his mind, which is really fascinating. And he has some long-term goals with that, like so that he could implant that into the mind of humans, and we could actually share information telepathically with one another. That's kind of scary. Because I don't want to accidentally send you a thought that I don't want you to have, you know what I mean? Like, is there going to be a way where we can encrypt certain thoughts so that nobody else can think them, right? I don't want to know what you're thinking either, so. It would be hard to be up here preaching and hear like 10,000 different people saying, you know what, I'm really bored, I wish this guy would hurry up, sit down, be quiet, heretic, like all this stuff. But that's kind of long-term for what they would like to do with that technology. And he's got a few other things that are so fascinating to think about. But in the near term, what he would like to do is be able to take this technology in maybe a quadriplegic, where they have the mental capacity but their body does not function, and give them the ability to control cell phones and computers and other things. Okay, for instance, for Lucy, who's here with us. And Lucy heard her name and she jumped up. She's listening. For those of you that don't know Lucy, Lucy has cerebral palsy. And when I first met Lucy, I looked at her physically and just saw that her body, she can't control it herself. And I just assumed that mentally there's nothing going on there as well. And Dusty was very gracious in helping me to learn that she's mentally fully functioning. She's maybe where Violet's at, or maybe a little further than Violet, my own daughter. So mentally, she's there. And this would give somebody like Lucy the ability to communicate. And they've tried some other things, I think, that she just doesn't have the muscle control to work something, to look at letters so they can spell things out. She doesn't have that. But if they could put this in her mind, then she would be able to communicate. And boy, I would love to bring Lucy up here and have her tell us all the stuff about Dusty and Ashley. How fun would that be? Lucy, you could tell us all about your mom and dad, and it'd be a great time. It would give her the ability to maybe learn in a much different capacity. It would give her the ability to be able to move around herself, eventually driving cars and all those sorts of things. So there's some fascinating things there. And our minds are just, they're so powerful. It's so incredible the way that God has created our minds. But your mind controls what you do. My mind controls what I do. And having the right mindset is critical to the direction you're going to go in life. What you think about is eventually what you become. You think about it this way, okay? For instance, think about what kind of car you have. Now, there was a time that you didn't have that car. You bought whatever kind of car it is for the first time. Now, you notice that once you had that car, so I think about when we first got a minivan. Honda Odyssey. Man, what a life drainer that was. I never saw a Honda Odyssey before we got one, ever. I didn't notice them. Now they're everywhere I look. They're in my dreams. I'm dreaming about Honda Odyssey. Okay, so whatever the car is you had, once you bought it, then you start to spot it out and see it in the road. Why? Because you're thinking about that car, and now you see it. And there's a reason some people have such a negative outlook on life is because they have thought those negative thoughts over and over and over again, and now that becomes who they are. There's some reason why some people are so hateful is because they think these hateful thoughts over and over and over again, and it becomes who they are. And then you have people at the other end of the spectrum that they think positivity all the time. Man, my wife, she is a positive, my daughter Violet is a positive person. And those positive thoughts just thought over and over again make you and turn you into that positive person. And this morning as we talk about love, okay, thinking and dwelling upon love and putting on that right mindset will turn us into the loving people that we are supposed to be. Now, let's look here in Philippians chapter 2. We've read verses 5 through 8 already, but we want to focus in on verse number 5 here and see, Paul's going to tell us the kind of mind that we're supposed to have here in Philippians chapter number 2. And he says this in verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." So, as followers of Jesus, we are to think just like Jesus thought. Now, you remember when we talked about being a disciple, a disciple's one purpose in life was to become just like their teacher. So when Jesus calls us to be his disciples, he's calling us, our main focus in life is to become just like Jesus in every single aspect. That includes the way that we think. He wants us to have the same mindset that Jesus has. But what does that look like? What does the mind of Jesus look like? And in Philippians chapter number 2 here, Paul relates to us what that mindset looks like. Now let's jump to the beginning of the chapter in verse number 1 and kind of set the groundwork for what we're going to talk about here in the next couple of weeks in having the mind of Jesus. It says in verse number 1, "If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind." So Paul begins by saying, hey, the basis for what I'm going to tell you are the benefits that you have of being in Jesus. And you think about the fact that of his consolation that he provides, his comfort, his fellowship, his compassion. In your King James Bible there, use the word bowels. Okay, that has to do with compassion because we feel things in our stomach. You think of that phrase talking about having butterflies in your stomach. And that's the idea of compassion. And then he says the mercy that we have in Jesus. So what he's going to tell us is based upon that relationship that we have. And Paul says, based upon that, here's what I want you to do. Thinking about all that we have in Jesus. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, you are missing out on so much. There are so many benefits to having a relationship with Jesus other than just you don't have to pay for your own sins in the lake of fire for all eternity. That's a good one. But there's so much more to it than just that. And Paul says, when I stop and I think about all the benefits that we have in Jesus, I want you to do something with that, okay? I want you to fulfill my joy. And the way that you're going to fulfill my joy, Paul says, is by having the right type of mindset. So we need to change the way that we think. We need to have our thinking changed and transformed, or as Paul told the Romans, we need to have the renewing of our mind. So let's change the way that we think. And then he goes on. He's got this little list here of a few things that make up what the mind of Christ looks like. And he states in verse number 2, having the same love. So the mind of Jesus is a mind of love. Love should be the default in our thinking. That should be the first place that we go to. Is our default for our mind ought to be on love, on loving God, on loving one another. That is the default that we ought to have. And unfortunately, for a lot of us, that's not the default. For some of us, the default is just hatred. Whether you're in person, whether you're watching online, our default a lot of times is on hatred. Our default a lot of times is on judgment and criticism of people. And man, how sad is it that Christians most often are known for being critical of other people, of being judgmental. And man, there's some churches that you walk into, and I pray this would not be true here at Good News, but there's some churches you walk into and you can just feel the criticism the moment you walk through the door. Everybody's judging you based upon how you look, what you're wearing, before they even know anything about you. That's the default for a lot of people. The default for a lot of people is pessimism and a negative outlook on life, always seeing the worst in everything. Some people have a default of a victim mentality, that everybody is against me, everybody's out to try to get me, and this kind of negative thought process that keeps coming through their minds. And Jesus says, no, that's not the default mindset that you should have. And Paul encourages us, hey, what you need to have is you need to have a mind of love. That's the mind that Jesus had. In John 13, 34, Jesus taught us in this. He said, a new commandment I give unto you. What's the next three words? Say them together.
That ye love.
All right, good. That ye love. He said, you should be loving. And you love one another. He said, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So his command for us is to love one another. And just to make sure that we understand what kind of love that is, he makes the statement, as I have loved you. That's the way that you and I are to love one another. So we don't dictate how we're supposed to love people. I don't get to dictate how I love you. Jesus is the one who dictates how we're supposed to love one another. And the way that he's dictated that you and I are to show love to one another, he said, you love each other the exact same way that I love you. And that's a pretty high standard of love. Can I be honest with you? Most of the time, I don't love people like that. I love my wife more than any person in the world. There's a lot of times I don't love her like that. And as a husband, I'm commanded to. Like, as a husband, I've been commanded to love my wife like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's a hard thing to do. That's a hard mindset to take on. But Jesus' command was, hey, you need to love one another just like I have loved you. Maybe you're here today, maybe you're watching online, and you need to understand this fact today. And that is that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you so much that he was willing to give his life. And we can see here what Jesus' love looked like. Turn over to John 15, just over a page or two in your Bible. For those watching online, or if you don't have it with you, it'll be on the screen for you. John 15, look at verses 12 and 13. We'll get an idea of what Jesus' love looked like. He puts it this way. Verse 12, this is my commandment that you love one another as I have loved you. Well, then he's going to, all right, this is how I'm going to love you. Verse 13, greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He said, that's what my love looks like. You want to know how we're supposed to love one another? It's a sacrificial love. It's a love that holds nothing back, that sacrifices everything. And Jesus demonstrates the ultimate act of love, giving one's life for someone else. And when I think about that love, how much he loved me, man, that's overwhelming. To know that Jesus willingly gave his life because he loves me. Jesus loves you so much that he willingly gave his life for you. In Romans 5:8, it says, but God commends or demonstrates his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He showed us what real love looked like. In the fact that when we were enemies of God, enemies of Jesus, he willingly sacrificed his life for you and for me. He understood that we had done wrong against God, that we had sinned, and because of that, we deserve to be punished. And the Bible lays it out very plainly, very clearly what that penalty is. It's forever in the lake of fire paying for our own sins. That's what all of us deserve because of our commands that we've broken against God. That's what we deserve. Jesus said, you know what? I love you. I love you. I don't want you to have to pay for your own sins. I don't want you to have to go to the lake of fire. And so Jesus said, you know what I'll do is I will give my life for you. I will pay the penalty for you. There is no greater love than that. No one could ever love you as much as that. Even if somebody were to sacrifice their life for you, man, that would be a great act of love. I mean, we think of all those men and women, the heroes that we have, that have already sacrificed their life for us, for our freedoms and a lot of other things. Even those who are currently fighting in the trenches as far as the pandemic is concerned. And many have given their lives for us. And what a wonderful act of love that is. But even in that, they cannot compare to the sacrifice that Jesus has made. When he paid the price for eternity for you and I. So that instead of eternal death, we could have eternal life. That's love. And that's the same mindset that you and I are to have in loving one another. We read John 13, verse number 34. Let's go one verse further and look at verse number 35. It says this, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." So Jesus says, the way that the world is going to know that you're my follower is the way that you love one another. And you notice what he does not say. He does not say, the world will know that you're my follower based upon your education. Does not say, based upon how much of the Bible you know. Does not say, based upon teaching style, worship style, or any other thing. He said, the way that the world will know that you're my follower is how you love one another. And we do such a poor job at that so often. I mean, this person over here can't get along with this person over here. This church over there won't have anything to do with this church over here because they don't believe exactly in every area the same way that I do. That's not the love that Jesus is talking about. And I wonder, what kind of example are we putting out to the world? When they look at the way that we love one another, what's the message that we're sending them? Because too often the message is, as long as you live up to the standard, then I'll love you. That's the message that we send out. We may never say that, but hey, you're welcome here as long as you dress a certain way. Then you're not welcome anymore. You know what we're saying is you got to live up to the standard before I can love you. And we're telling them you have to live up to the standard before God will love you. That's what we tell them. And we need to be careful about that. He said the way the world will know that you're my follower is the way that you love one another. And we need to make sure we're sending the right message out there. We need to make sure that we're representing Jesus well. We could go all the way back to the giving of the Ten Commandments, where God told Moses, listen, you shouldn't take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Can I tell you something? That has nothing to do with cuss words at all. It has nothing to do with the name God, has nothing to do with the name Jesus. But we have taught a bunch of people that as long as you don't use God's name in an improper way, then you're good. What that has to do with is the way we represent God to the people around us. When we misrepresent Him, we take His name in vain. As a follower of Jesus, I am a Christian. I have His name upon me. What's the way I'm representing Him to the world out there? Am I giving them a false message of who God is and how He feels about them? Hey, if you're just like me, then God will love you. That's not the message of Jesus. The message of Jesus is, I love you. That's it. That's the message. And not just, I love you a little bit, but I love you so much, I willingly gave my life to pay the price for your sins. That's the true message of Jesus. Not, hey, if you come to our church, then Jesus will love you. If you go to that church, Jesus won't love you. If you live up and follow certain rules, and even in our own homes, we can do that. In our relationships with the closest people next to us, we do that sometimes. You know, if our kids follow all the rules, then they'll get the love and affection. No. If my spouse does exactly the things that I want them to do, then I'll show them love and affection. No, that's not the love of Jesus. The love of Jesus is just, I love you. In spite of anything else. He says, that's the way that the world is going to know that you're a follower of mine, is the way that you love one another. We have to put on the mind of Jesus. Then we read this verse here in 1 John chapter number 4. As I was thinking about John 13, 35, this verse kind of popped up into my mind because it's really kind of the opposite of what he's saying in John chapter 13. Verse 35. So in 1 John 4:20, John writes this. If a man say, I love God. Now, probably nobody in here would say anything other than I love God. If I did the whole, raise your hand if you love God. Probably everybody's hand would go up, except the couple in here maybe that are sleeping. Okay? Now everybody's looking around like, who's sleeping? Who's doing it? Okay, everybody's hand would go up. I love God. Okay, it's one thing for me to say I love God. Does my life back that up? So he says, if a man say I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. So you can say you love God all you want to. You can say you love Jesus all you want to. But if your life doesn't back that up, I mean, what did Jesus say? If you love me, keep my commandments. So if we're not doing what it is Jesus wants us to do, we can say we love Him all we want to. We're lying. It says, for he that loves not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? He said he can't do it. You have to love one another. That is the command that Jesus gave to us. I mean, there's just way too much hatred in this world. You just think about the last year. The hatred for all kinds of reasons. Hatred based upon race. Hatred based upon educational issues. Hatred based upon politics. And man, our country has never been more divided and more corrosive than it is right now politically. All the troubles there. Hatred based upon your thoughts about the pandemic. Everybody has an opinion about it. And man, the hatred that can go back and forth just because somebody maybe takes it a little more serious than you do or doesn't take it as seriously as you do and just go, all the fighting and the, no. Listen, default to love. However you feel and think about all these other things, that's you. I'm to love you. In fact, Jesus went so far as to say, love your enemies. So if you're a Democrat in here and you hate Republicans, hey, love your Republican brothers and sisters. If you're a Republican in here and you hate the Democrats, Jesus said, hey, love them. Not fight, not hate, not be angry, love. That's the default that we should have. And so we need to put on the mind of Jesus. The mind of Jesus is a mind of love. Okay, so let's talk about this practically. So how can I practically, what's one thing I can do this week just to put on the mind of love? Now, later on in life group, for those of you that are not coming to life group, I want to encourage you to be in life group. We're going to take what we're talking about here, and we're going to apply it to the way that we live our life, okay? So I'm going to give out one of the answers for somebody. Okay, so only one person in your group is going to be able to use this answer and how you can show the love and have the mindset of love this week. I want you to spend some time in 1 Corinthians 13 this week. Because 1 Corinthians 13 defines what love really looks like. All about what love really is. And I want everybody this week to spend a little time in 1 Corinthians 13. And you're going to have a little homework. Because I want you to think about your own thought process. The way that you interact with different people. How you love them. And I want you to take that and I want you to compare it to what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. About what true love looks like. How does it compare? What's the area that maybe you need to grow in? One of them, for me, I'll just give you an example. One of them for me is love believes all things. And I don't always believe the best about people. Okay, my natural mindset is to think the worst about people. Okay, that's not the mind of Jesus. I'm being upfront right away, okay? So that's the one I need to work on. It's just giving people the benefit of the doubt. Just loving them and giving them the benefit of the doubt. And if they prove me wrong, or I don't know if it was right originally, whatever. Okay? If the worst comes out, oh well. I love like Jesus. Because that's how the way we're supposed to love. My wife is currently working on writing her second book about loving like Jesus. I'm really excited about it. That's the mindset that we're supposed to have. Is we need to love like Jesus loved. And in all of our interactions, how would Jesus love the person that's in front of us? How would he love that person that wrote that comment on Facebook? Okay, for a lot of things, maybe he just keep on scrolling because that is allowed. Like, you don't need to comment on absolutely everything. Okay? But how would he interact with them? How would he love that person that we're talking to, that we're texting, that we're interacting online with or interacting in person? How would he love them? And if you say, well, I don't know, then you need to spend some more time in the Gospels. Just reading about Jesus, learning about him. Because he is the ultimate example of what love looks like. And as his follower, that's exactly the mindset that I should have. That's the mindset that you should have. He tells us here in Philippians chapter 2, verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. Now I want you to notice this in verse number 8. Because it shows exactly that sacrifice of love that he made. Being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus has a mind of love. So should you and I. Let's put on a mind of love today.